Do we have a show again? What's the name of our show? Like the Idiot Hour?
Well, that's like all we do, so.
If Ian's an idiot.
Wait. If Ian's? Did I hear
what's my name again?
If Ian's the idiot is
no,
what
you
I said.
Ian's.
I heard
no, I said Ian.
I heard Ian's. I like, okay, I in. Stayed at the Hampton Inns.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. Seth has joined the channel.
What the f*** is with this guy?
Paula has joined the channel.
No! God, please, no! No!
Negative Apex has joined the channel.
How overpowered these pistols are!
Enemy pentakill.
They're capturing C! Oh my god, they're capturing C! Now we're gonna lose.
This sucks.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. I am Lance, aka Sev, your sexy host. Joined by my awesome two friends, which probably aren't that awesome, actually. But Ian and Josh, what's up, guys?
I take not a lot of offense to that.
I don't care.
Yeah, I know. Well, Ian, I mean, you're not awesome, but you're pretty sexy. That sexy voice of yours.
I tried very hard. I would nominate him for sexiest Mexican of 2013.
Whoa.
I think you'd win that. Yeah. You're good. That's good. How you guys doing, though? What are you all drinking?
Same thing I was drinking last week. Vodka.
More vodka?
Wow.
Yeah, me too. Dude, vodka's good stuff.
I'm drinking water again, actually.
No, you're not.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lie.
Water.
You know, barley and hops and
beer. What kind of beer are you actually drinking? I meant to
I'm
ask you that before.
I'm actually drinking Smithwick's or Smithwick's, depending on how hipster you are.
I've never heard that before.
It's actually a Guinness-owned beer.
Really?
But it doesn't taste like Guinness.
So anyway, the Oculus Rift. That's something that we've been keeping our eyes on for quite a while. It was a Kickstarter that sprung up like 2 years ago or something weird like that. But there's something now that is kind of like an attachment to with the Oculus Rift. And it's called... What was it?
Yeah, it's called the Prio. Or the...
Prio.
The, oh, the French... French pronounce it the Pria.
The Pria.
VR motion suit. Yeah.
Right. So
it's a pretty
this
suit.
Kind of makes you look like Matt Damon from just came out. Elysium.
Yeah, sure.
Or high, in a way. Depending on how you look at it.
But you guys were talking about it earlier. And it's basically they've made this game this somewhat like DayZ kind of lookalike. That kind of goes across with it. And you're typing in more boobs. Really, Ian. Ian. You do realize that when you type in there, it shows your name.
Oh, sad face.
So basically what you're saying is this suit needs more boobs.
Yes.
Yes. All things
I don't
need
know
boobs.
How.
Very good, sexy boobs.
Well,
I didn't
you know,
go that far.
It's funny, though, when you mention that. I feel like something like this, if they market it towards the, you know, right people.
Gamers.
Yeah. Right. That's not exactly
who
what I meant.
Who have boobs.
But
we have gamer boobs, you know. It happens.
But no, I was meaning
okay,
a little different.
What it is.
A different industry, I mean.
It's motion sensitive to your arms and potentially to your whole body. Like the Kickstarter is coming out. It's like you can order it for like just your arms or like your arms and your head, which obviously your head is the Oculus Rift. Or you can order it for like your whole body. And
yeah.
it's basically the Oculus. It's basically what everybody's been
it
looking
does,
for.
It does sound very awesome.
It
but
does.
When you watch somebody playing with it,
you look like an idiot.
How many mushrooms have you had? What are you doing outside, yeah, like, pulling out all the weeds and killing the neighbor's cat?
There's this dude on the video that they showed, and he's like rolling around on his floor and like shooting at zombies and crap. But when you look at like just what the guy is doing, he looks completely retarded.
Yeah. Just like the Wii remote being thrown at the TV. Now you're going to attack the TV. You're going to tackle it.
Beat yourself, beat the TV zombie to death.
I feel like this is definitely something to do in alone time. Nobody can see you.
Yes, we should definitely do this in alone time.
Hey, can you imagine playing this beach volleyball with it? Dead or Alive beach volleyball? Ba-da-ba, oh, ba-da-ba. Yeah.
Can you imagine a certain industry with this?
Oh, no, 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 no.
I feel like if they really want to make some money here, they could market it to the right people.
Probably, but it looks pretty awesome. And they were talking about releasing it at like $500 or less for like the one that like the full body one.
Did that?
Yeah, really, $500. That's crazy.
Really,
right?
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's if it works. If it's not like a Wii. Disaster.
It looked like pretty good. Remote. It's got like straps on your forearms and your legs and your feet, and it has a box on your chest that does all the processing so that it doesn't like bog down your PC.
Yeah.
So you can still use it. Yeah, you can still use it. When they were showing it in the video, they were using a laptop. So, you know. So it doesn't like takes a whole lot of processing and does it all on the box and then just kind of sends the info to your PC.
I think once the Oculus Rift becomes a thing, I think we're going to see a ton of companies trying to come out with accessories and things like this to improve, you know, the immersion of the situation.
Yeah.
Even like, now, I mean, like, when I watched that video, though, I was like, whoa, it's, you know, every dream you had when you were a 14-year-old teenage kid is coming true. You know, you're going to be able to run around, jump, you know, fall on the floor and your freaking character is gonna fall on the floor. You know,
like, shoot.
Everywhere you aim is where your character aims. No. They had this cool thing where like the dude reached behind him with his gun, like put the gun behind him and shot the zombie in the head. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Hey, now let's not forget Virtual Boy. Okay.
Oh my god. Yes, if you still have that, it's probably worth some money.
Well, it's being developed on the Oculus Rift, like alongside the Oculus Rift. And when you order, it sounds like when you order like the second tier package, which is like the arms and the head, the Oculus Rift is shipped with it.
Yeah,
it looks pretty promising.
That $500, was that, did that say if it was the add-on or was that with like everything,
that
the Oculus Rift and everything together?
They said the price, now this is just a quote, but it sounded like the pricing of $500 would get you like the best, which is like the full body with possibly the Oculus Rift, you know, and everything. So,
yeah, I'm actually.
And it goes on Kickstarter in February.
Kickstarter.
So,
okay, so the actual add-on goes on Kickstarter later.
Yeah, it goes up. If you want to donate toward it, it goes up in February. And it sounds like they're trying to push the units out and ship out the units in July. So
I just went to the Oculus Rift Kickstarter page, and I looked at how much money they've raised so far. And basically, their goal was only $250,000. Like,
wow.
That was all they needed, right? Well, take a guess on how much money they've already made off of it.
A bunch.
Yes, it's a bunch. They've actually made $2.4 million.
Oh, holy dang!
Off of it, yeah.
They'll buy some cookies.
Cookies.
And they've actually made... There's some videos on the website that show this other game called like Hawken, which looks like a mech game. I've always wanted to have something like that. I don't know how many people have played the game Mech Assault. Now just imagine that with the Oculus Rift. It seems like it's going to be pretty awesome. But yeah, it looks really cool. I'm actually thinking about funding towards the Oculus Rift now just because it seems like you can't go wrong. I mean, the lowest pledge is only $10. But anyway, yeah, the other thing too was even though... you do look like an idiot in it. rolling around, but I think we're all still going to get it.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah, it's the next step in virtual reality, yeah. Man. It's going to be awesome.
Everyone's still going to end up getting it. I mean, it's like the Google Glass almost. Like, it does look kind of stupid, but it does seem like a pretty awesome idea.
It could potentially change the whole industry.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
If it works.
I mean, that could be, you know, next gen for gamers.
Next gen.
But speaking of just kind of weird gadgets and things for your computer, there was the iLOX eye scanner for your PC.
Dude, that thing creeps me out.
Yeah.
You know, it's all those movies where they cut somebody's eye out to get inside of this A for computer?
Yep.
There you go.
Cut your eye out to get inside your computer. I don't know. When I read about this, it's the iLOX Myris Iris Scanner. Try saying that 1,000 times. It's quoted, it's going to be like coming out at like $300. But think about, like, you know, when they started putting out the fingerprint scanners for like the iPhone and the laptops and the crap?
Right.
Yeah, dude, like, that just starts popping up into mind. First, you have, like, all those conspiracy theorists who are like, oh, you know, the FBI are collecting data.
Yeah, the NSA wasn't happy with your fingerprints. Now they want your, you know,
your iris scans.
Exactly, dude. It's a conspiracy, bro. But, you know, actually, there's some legitimate stuff. Like, when the fingerprint scanner for the iPhone came out, it was complete trash. Like, a ton of people had problems with it actually reading your fingerprint. Like, it would start reading it the first day, and then, like, the second day, it would, like, barely be able to read your fingerprint, and they were having a ton of problems with it. But the software that they used, which was UPEC Protector Suite for the laptop, when it got hacked, and you were able to get into it, it stored your, like, admin passwords for your computer in just, like, a normal, it wasn't encrypted. And so when they hacked their protector suite, they could get into, like, everything in your computer because it had, wow, like, all your admin passwords and stuff on there.
Yeah, I didn't know
so
that.
So if you think about, like, where this eye scanner, they said in the video that it's going to store all of your passwords and stuff. Like, they were like, oh, if you want to get on, you know, like Amazon or, you know, eBay or whatever, like, it stores all that info in the device. So what if the device gets hacked? Like, yeah, all of your crap.
It doesn't seem like
hacked.
A viable option right now. Not right now. And also, I mean, is it really going to be that useful for us? I have a sheet that I just write down all of my information on my desk. But yeah, it's something kind of cool.
It seems pretty cool for all those people, like the sci-fi guys are like, oh my God, you know, it's a freaking eye scanner for your PC to, but I don't know. I'm not going to buy it because
it's the way of the future, man.
Way of the future, bro.
Hey man, all that's next is just flying cars.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And then teleporters. What's really cool that's coming out in the future is, of course, the steam machines that we've talked about before, and you can kind of see, there's quite a few different steam machines that are coming out, and we can see the differences between all of them and see what, you know, what really fits us and the price difference. I think last week we talked a little bit about the Alienware in particular and a few others, but Ian, I know you did a little bit of research in on these. What do you think about that? At least I hope you did. No, I think you looked up some of the differences, like with prices and things like that, on what is kind of best for like a budget gamer, I guess.
There, like I said last week, there are a ton of vendors coming out with a Steam machine, and they're gonna have different options. You don't have to get, like I said, you know, a GTX Titan, you know, for your Steam machine. That's just kind of retarded.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you want that, get it. You know, it's important to think about that a lot of these Steam machines, they're just mini computers. That's all they are.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've built a computer before, you can go out and build your own Steam machine. You know, Mini ITX has become a very good and popular platform. And, I mean, a lot of good companies are making good quality parts for them, you know, like Asus and MSI and Gigabyte and so on.
Well, I was just gonna say, the crazy thing about these Steam machines is if you look at the pricing of some of these machines, they're like, they're between $1,000 to literally one company has up to $6,000 for a Steam machine.
Yeah.
So,
and it's like, if you're
they're
gonna,
custom
and
computers.
Half the they're custom, but half the site, like half the developers that are putting these up, the companies are sites that, you know, specialize in building your own computer. So like, I don't see why, like, if you're going to spend like Falcon Northwest Tiki is one of the developers that is putting out a Steam machine. Its cost is between $1,800 to $6,000. It's like, why wouldn't you just buy your own computer at that point? There are some really good companies that are putting out Steam machine, like CyberPower. Everybody knows CyberPower. Build your own computer from CyberPower. Its price is at $500, $499. You get a 3.9 gigahertz AMD processor. You get 8 gigs of DDR3 RAM, 2 gigs AMD Radeon R9 270. GPU, and the hard drive is 500 gigs. So there are some really reasonably priced Steam machines out there, and because it's basically a mini computer, it'd be, you know, it that would totally be worth spending $500-$700 on a Steam machine, because it's way cheaper than a computer. You can still play a lot of Steam games on it, but paying something like $6,000 for a Steam machine, that's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, and that one in particular, the one that was ranging from 6,000, I'm not sure if they're listing the specs here on the website of one that might range to $6,000. Because honestly, I cannot see at all paying $6,000 for, even if it had a NVIDIA, a Titan in it with 6 terabyte and a 16 gig RAM. Like, I still can't even see the 6. So I'm actually really curious to see what they're offering for $6,000.
Yeah.
Because I feel
like some crazy crap.
I feel like what they're showing here would be like the $1,800 machine. And even that, I'm still kind of like, I could still build one, you know, maybe not better, but pretty close to for cheaper.
Yeah, and a lot of these high-end ones have a dual operating system, because like we said before, there aren't a ton of games supported by Linux, so a lot of these Steam machines come with Windows and Steam OS, because not all games are supported by Linux.
Right.
As
it's a tiny PC.
Yeah, it makes me curious how Alienware is going to fare, because in one of their interviews, they said they were going to be competitively priced with the Xbox One and the PS4, which is around $500. But a lot of these Steam companies that have put out their own Steam boxes, most of them are over $1,000. Actually, the only ones that I have found that are under $100 is CyberPower PC and I think iBuyPower.
Right. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where Alienware's starting price is.
Well, I think last week we talked about it, and the one that I saw on IGN, it was saying that it was about $500, like you said. I know it says to be announced here, but I do remember it saying it was about $499.
Yeah, it's competitively priced for the Xbox One and the PS3, which. Yeah. For all the PC gamers out there, a Steam box is a really good buy-in under $1,000, because, you know, to build a decent computer now, it's like $2,000 easy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a pretty,
well, you said
it's a pretty
decent
good
computer?
Buy-in.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, a decent computer. Oh. You know, I think I spent like $1,500 on my computer with a monitor.
Really?
Yeah. So
I spent like $600 building my computer, and it can run I mean, it can run some pretty good games on high graphics. I'm trying to think of the latest one. I actually don't use it anymore, actually, because I have my laptop.
Yeah, so but, 600 bucks for a Steam box is a really good price range. But then when you start going up to like $1,300 and $2,000 and stuff, that's just kind of getting crazy. And I think it's just companies putting out way too much in a Steam box that no one's really going to want. Just to get some money, but who
yeah,
knows?
I mean, you know, always start high, right, with the price, and then go
I
down.
I suppose,
yeah.
They got me thinking about Titanfall. Don't ask me why, because I had just recently found out that it was on PC, and I didn't know that actually. So actually, I'm more excited for it because it's just going to be available on the PC, particularly in Titanfall. We found out sometime last week that it was going to be 6 versus 6 human player.
Yeah,
it was only gonna be 6 versus 6.
And I didn't know we were still playing on Nintendo 64.
The internet pretty much just kind of blew up in rage about it. I mean, because when was the last time you saw a game that was limited to 6 versus 6?
Yeah, it's important to think about when they showed the demo at E3, there was a whole lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hectic, and there was stuff. I mean, it looked like there were a gazillion players, but they're AI, and there's human players mixed in.
It's very different take. I know there's some games in the past that have done stuff like that, but the only thing I can think of is the amount of AI they're going to include. I'm not actually sure how many AI there are.
It's 12. It's 12 AI soldiers for both sides. So
plus additional
plus,
titans.
Yeah. So I think it's 6 titans because it said that each player could assign a titan to protect them. So in
really?
All. Yeah, so in all, it sounds like there's going to be 48 player multiplayer, and that's quotations, like 48 player, but there's only 6 real players. And that's the thing that's kind of crazy is, yes, there's going to be still a lot of crap going on the board, and it doesn't have a single player campaign because of like the AI that's in the multiplayer and crap like that.
Right.
But it still scares me because every single game to date, AI is not challenging compared to a real player. It's just not challenging, and so it kind of makes me wonder, you know, how are you going to do the ranking up system? How are you going to do points if you're just going around slaughtering AI because they're, you know, so much easier to kill than that other player on the team that's sniping everybody or that's killing everybody in the Titan? I don't know, it seems weird. There's still going to be a lot of action going on, even though there's only 6 people on each side because of all the extra titans, all the extra soldiers and stuff like that. But it makes you wonder how everything's going to go down. Yeah.
I think it still looks promising. I mean, the developer kind of came out and said, you know, just why don't you play the game first before you make a judgment, which, to be fair, he's right.
The game looks really good as far as graphically goes, you know. So
yeah, oh yeah, it still looks amazing. I'm probably still gonna end up buying it, to be perfectly honest, because I love mechs. Mech Assault was one of my most favorite games, played on the Xbox, the original Xbox. And I'm really looking forward to Titanfall. It doesn't really personally bum me out that it's 6 versus 6. Especially because there's still going to be AI involved. I think if I remember correctly, there was something... So one of you guys said something about how the story... There was some kind of like story multiplayer involved. Was that you, Ian, actually?
No, that was... Dude, I was talking about a different game. That was me.
Was it? What game was it?
Yeah, but they already announced in Titanfall that there's going to be no campaign.
Okay. I mean, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. They said there's not going to be a campaign, but there's going to be... That because there's AI in the multiplayer, that there's not going to be a campaign. So I don't know. That's kind of crazy that there's going to be no, you know, single player campaign.
But think about it. Like between Battlefield and Call of Duty, how many people actually load the game and be like, "I'm going to play single player campaign"?
Yeah,
we've always
I guess,
gone straight into multiplayer.
Yeah, and like Battlefield 4 had a really crappy. Single player campaign.
Yeah,
it had a really crappy single player campaign.
So did Battlefield 3, actually.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, you have a point there that the single player campaign really isn't what you buy the game for. But I just think it's interesting that their excuse is because there's AI in the multiplayer that they're not having a single player campaign.
Yeah, I don't really buy that as a good excuse, to be honest. I mean, but then again, we are talking about the developers that did make like the original Call of Duty. You know, up to what, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, I believe, the first Modern Warfare or two. I think it was. I think they left after the second Modern Warfare, which was awesome.
I don't know, dude.
These are the same guys, and it's funny because I remember the first time Titanfall came out, Josh. I was talking to you about this, and you were like, "Dude, it looks just like Call of Duty."
Dude, it does, man.
And then, like, I did some research and found out it's made by the same guys.
It looks like the weapons, the scoping, the pace of the game and stuff looks like Call of Duty to me. But I'm gonna check it out. I'm not a big Call of Duty fan. I'm Battlefield all the way. Woo! But I'm still gonna check out the game. Like you said, dude, it's got freaking mechs in it. Everybody's been looking for a good mech game for a while. So I think it'll be worth checking out, even though it's only 6v6 and there's no single player campaign. It still looks like it's going to be a really cool game.
Yeah. I think it's definitely going to be one I'm going to check out. There's another game that's actually coming out. It's the Alien Isolation. And Ian, did you put that one up on there, on those notes?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Somebody.
By any chance play the last Alien game, like the... Marine one?
No.
The one that was kind of a disaster.
I think the last Alien game I played was not the last Alien vs. Predator, the old Alien vs. Predator.
The old one. Like what system?
Sierra Games, you know? So, the graphics were awesome.
Yeah, right? The newest one that's come out is Alien Clonal Marines, huge
so already
bust.
You may be shuddering.
Like, it was just, you went through the campaign, you were just slaughtering aliens left and right, and there it was just so... The creators tried to hype it up, but it was just, for everyone that's a true Alien fan, it was just a bust.
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy around that game.
Yeah, and what... Ian, you can... You're probably the biggest Alien fan here. And when I was watching Alien Isolation, I was like, whoa, they're doing it right this time. They were talking about how you really don't see that many aliens. You know, it's not about combat. It's about, you know,
it's more like
survival.
A horror game.
Yeah, it's a horror. It's the survival horror game.
Yeah, it takes, you know, its cues from, like, Outlast and... gosh, I can't remember.
I saw some article mention Left 4 Dead or the creators of Left 4 Dead or something weird like that. I'm not really sure if it's just the same development team.
It's going to be more of a survival game, like I said, like Outlast and Slender Man, that indie game, where you don't have any weapons. I mean, it's just you and the thing. That's it.
Yeah, they showed a clip in the video that was released of the game that you were like in the same room as the alien, but all you could do is like hide from it and like try to sneak around it. And you have the old, you know, freaking like motion sensitive thing.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now in the video. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, you have the old, you know, sci-fi huge like motion sensor thing, but you have no guns.
Classic.
Like, you have to hide from this alien, because if you get caught, you're screwed.
Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah. And it's not, the alien isn't on a automated path where it might run into. The AI actually
like
searches
for you.
Yes.
Oh, that's
oh wow.
Sight, smell, sound. Because you get like a torch to cut through some doors,
right,
so you can get to areas quicker. But as soon as you start using that torch, that sound, you're more of a chance of getting killed.
Yeah, I remember there was a point in the video where... Now you're playing... who's the chick from the original Aliens?
Ripley.
Ripley, yeah.
It's actually
right,
Ripley's daughter, which...
Okay, so you're playing Ripley's daughter.
Yes.
Which, okay, so...
Spoiler!
she walks into a room, and as she's looking at this table that is like a breakfast nook or you know, something like that. You walk up to the table and this like little robot on the table that is like motion sensitive. You know how you always have like that stupid crap in your house that when you walk by it, it starts singing a fish song or something crap like that. Well, anyways, it makes like this beep. And they said, well, if the alien is around, you're screwed because you just walked up to this table and this thing just made a beep. And, you know, if you were going to hide under it, it just was like, hey, you're right here. Come get me. I'm a snack.
What I'm worried about is there is only going to be one alien, as they talked about, for the most part of the game. And when you consider a game like Outlast is utterly terrifying because you don't know what you're going to run into. There are so many different things that can scare the crap out of you. You only have one thing, but I'm still looking forward to it. I hope they don't mess it up, and if they don't, it's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Something I noticed while I was watching the video is like a lot of the video, it seemed like it was supposed to be super dramatic and stuff, but like after you found out, oh, there's only one alien, it wasn't really that intense. But now finding out that the alien, like, I didn't know that before you said it, that the alien like actively stalks you.
That's
so maybe
really
that'll
cool.
maybe that'll like enhance the, you know, scariness of the game, the drama, you know, that tense feeling of, oh crap, you know, if I make this noise, will the alien find me? Whatever. So it'll be really interesting when it gets released as to, you know, what's going on with it.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting how they're gonna do an 8 to 12 hour game out of that.
Right. So there's no multiplayer involved in this game.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's pretty good. Man, I'm watching the video and the graphics look really good because I'm watching her like cutting through this door, and the graphics look amazing.
They actually took all the set pieces from the original Alien movie actually using in this game. Now, it's not the same ship or anything like that.
Right.
But they're taking cues a lot from the series. So, not aliens.
Yeah.
Not aliens. Aliens.
The first
original
movie.
The original one, yeah. I remember them talking about lighting when they were developing this game, and how lighting is has such a effect on the game, and how aliens, colonial marines, really didn't you know, get on that point of lighting and trying to create an atmosphere. Yeah. And so this game has really focused on a lot of these minor details to create a more tense atmosphere. So it looks good. I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably buy it because I love survival horror. So
have any of you guys played Outlast yet?
No, but I want to.
Yeah, I haven't played it, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I have it on my wish list right now. Actually, it looks really fun, really scary. It's funny because I've never actually played any games like that.
Yeah, I think once I played Dead Space, it was like such an amazing experience because they just took the whole genre and flipped it over and did it the way they were supposed to.
Yeah, Dead Space was really good.
When you're playing Dead Space, it wasn't a shooter. It was like, oh crap, I'm going to die by these things
because
I can't freaking kill them.
It was like playing Ravenholm on Half-Life 2. I remember playing Ravenholm and being like, whoa, that's going on.
And,
oh my god.
And
guy's
I'm going to die
oh my god.
Any second. But yeah.
That was great.
And so, Resident Evil 2, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, Resident Evil.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's going to be a really awesome game.
Oh yeah, yeah. I definitely look forward to it. I'm a huge Alien fan, so it's gonna be cool.
Talking about this game that's gonna be coming out in hopefully 2014. What was you guys' best, like, what was y'all's like favorite game of 2013?
BioShock.
BioShock
Infinite, totally.
Oh yeah,
now,
dude, that was
are we including early access games?
Yeah,
that are in alpha.
Daisy standalone.
I gotta
give a shout out to. I think one of my most anticipated games of 2013 was Rome Total War, which is a really awesome game. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite indie games to play is Don't Starve. That was a really fun survival game.
Oh, you actually played that?
Yeah, it was a really fun game. It was an indie developed game. You had to literally not starve was the hardest thing of the game. Every time night came around, you started getting attacked. If you weren't in like this lighted area, you'd be like murdered by these monsters that you couldn't see. It was crazy. It was a really fun game. That was one of my favorite indie games of 2013. As far really? As big developers go, it was Rome Total War. I love the Total War series. Rome came out in 2013. It was a really fun game, and it's awesome. If you like the Total War series, you should totally pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, Rome, the first Rome was amazing. Everyone loved it.
Yeah.
I did buy two, but I haven't got to play it very much. But definitely going to check it out now. Ian, what about you? Anything in particular?
I didn't get to play as many games as I wanted to in 2013. But I think the one thing that all of us have been waiting and enduring through was DayZ.
Wait for it.
I mean, we played through the mod. There's so many variations of the mod. We had a blast. And then just out of nowhere, Standalone came out.
No announcements, and, no anything.
Yeah,
no, just like, hey, earlier access.
I think because of the amount of money that they have made, I think it's going to turn into something really awesome. So,
especially for an early alpha release, they made a huge profit on the game. I think, yeah, totally. That is on my list of one of the games that is just, it's got to be mentioned because it's like the underdog story. It was a mod turned into a video game, a full-fledged, you know, developer game. So
I mean,
it was
Dean,
pretty awesome.
Or the Rocket Dean. I mean, he's like, he just came up with the idea. I want to make this game because it sounds fun.
Yeah,
it turned into a mod that everybody got a hold of, and it just blew up.
And nowadays, it's like the age of survival games.
Yeah,
and you kind of have to credit that towards DayZ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty much what started a lot of these.
There's a ton
really hardcore
of games
coming out that
are going to be copying the concept.
You could call 2013 the age of the zombie games because so many zombie games
or just survival
DayZ
in general.
Knockoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the War Z was awesome, guys. Remember that?
Oh yeah, the War Z.
Isn't it called like Infection now?
It's changed.
They changed it to like Infection Survivor Stories, and I think actually they had to change the name because of the movie World War Z.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think it had anything to do with DayZ, which is kind of funny, but
yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
But yeah, DayZ totally deserves 2013, one of the best games. It is just the perfect underdog story.
Oh yeah, and if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. Like I'm sure if you're a gamer, you've heard of this game already. Or if not, I mean, I'm trying to think, how long ago did it come out? Like
two years ago. Yeah, the mod came out a long time ago, man, and there's so many variations of the mod now. We've played so many different mods and then like so many different mods and then so many different maps of the game that, you know, it just blew up.
And
so,
speaking of which, how many times did we always say like we're worried that the standalone's not going to be anywhere as good as some of these other like versions of the mod, for instance, Origins or Epoch.
And
go ahead.
It looks like they're like building up to that. You know, right now it doesn't have a lot of the like the crafting and stuff that you're used to if you played Epic or whatever, you know, where you could build houses and crap like that. But if you think about it, you know, we talked about last week how he released a freaking update like the day after it came out, and it's steadily had updates ever since, and it's steadily getting better. And so for a an early access alpha game, He is just churning out new stuff, and the content that is there and the content that is being added is just getting better and better.
Yeah, I think he's definitely done a great thing with it, and I can't wait to see where he goes with it in the future. Excuse me, burp. But so would you guys actually label that as like an indie game or no?
I don't know. That's a tough situation there.
I guess so, because it's not the $60 premium.
It's a Kickstarter. It's a Kickstarter game, almost.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't know what to call it, because it's not. It's not like this indie developer. It sprung off of Arma 2, which a lot of the developers that are working on DayZ have worked on Arma 2 and Arma 3, which is also one of the awesome games of 2013 when it was released.
But it always seems like there's a small development team.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. I guess it's hard to say. It's pretty tough. But speaking of the Humble Bundle, I was about to go into the Humble Bundle because we're talking about indie games.
We weren't speaking of the Humble Bundle, but now that you mention it.
But actually, did any of you guys get to check out what the Humble Bundle is for the week of the 13th? Because, I mean, we usually check that out. Josh, did you by any chance?
I got an email about it, and I like scanned over it really quick. I didn't see any huge titles in there.
Dude,
it's a lot of indie games that are in there right now.
Surgeon General.
Surgeon
Simulator.
Oh my god.
That's a pretty big indie game. Like, Humble Bundle does some great things. They put out a lot of indie game releases every week. I think I've seen like EA games on there once.
Yeah.
You know, like they did one EA bundle.
It's like an old SimCity.
It was okay.
I think it did have good games on it though.
It had some decent games on it. I think it had Dead Space 2 on it.
I think it had the first Bad Company.
This week's Humble Bundle is To the Moon, Joe Danger 2, the movie, Papa and Yo, Runner 2. And then if you pay more than the average, which is $5.25 for all of these games, you also get Rias and Surgeon Simulator 2013.
Which, isn't there like a mod for like the doctor from Team Fortress?
Yes.
It's
like an add-on, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So yeah, and it donates to the Electric Frontier Foundation and the Child's Play charity. So you get, you know, 6 awesome games, plus you're donating to charity, plus it's super cheap. It's, you know, under $6. So Humble Bundle offers like some really cool stuff every week. Check it out. Subscribe to their email because it's awesome.
Yeah, and it's awesome to get notifications on really cheap games and sometimes really popular, awesome games that you can get for nothing, which is why I subscribe to it. But you think the Child's Play charity is like, here's video games for you guys? Like, poor children who don't have anything, they just give them video games?
Oh, I thought it was about dolls killing people.
The Child's Play gives game systems and video games to children in hospitals, I believe. So it's a really cool charity. It helps out the sick kids that wouldn't normally be able to play Grand Theft Auto and kill some strippers while they're in the hospital. So,
yeah. And we gotta make sure we can ruin their moral stuff.
But and apparently the Electronic Frontier Foundation is actually like defending your rights in the digital world. Actually, it's tech-savvy attorneys, activists, technologists that fight in courtrooms and Congress to protect privacy and free expression online and throughout the world.
Thing about reminding me about the Electric Frontier Foundation. A lot of the games that usually end up on the Humble Bundle, I don't think any of them on this week's is... No, yeah, you can get them DMR-free.
Oh,
with direct download. Every week you can get a DMR.
You know, like
free.
The rifle.
Yeah,
yeah, like the rifle in DayZ, bro. You can get a. You can pay more money. I think it's like
it's
a
DRM.
You can pay a
not
dollar
DMR.
More. DMR. You know, I don't know what I said, dude. I'm.
You know what's funny?
Hey, at this point in the show, I'm pretty much mostly drunk. So you know. Wow.
What's funny is it didn't even hit me. It didn't hit me that he said that either, Ian.
DMR.
Hey, guys. Did you guys hear that DMR? I heard it. Did you hear it? No, that's a DRM, man.
Anyway, so yeah, every week you can get them. You can pretty much get them for DRM free if you don't want all that anti-piracy crap that you have to deal with in all these new games. So that's another really cool feature of the Humble Bundle.
That's really cool.
What else? You know how you're making fun of me of my speech when I'm half drunk?
Yeah.
I got the perfect MOBA for you, dude. It's great. God. You know how you suck at League of Legends and you don't really know how to jungle and you don't really know how to top and you can't AD carry and you can't last hit. I got the perfect game for you, dude.
I just can't carry my team that's awful.
Your back's not strong enough, bro.
Yeah. Since you suck, I found this really good MOBA. It's a new MOBA. It's in closed beta. It's just for you, Ian. It's called Strife. And it's pretty much for the MOBA for all those people that are in your League of Legends team that feed the enemy team and you hate them and you rage at them.
Not me.
Strife. It's in closed beta. It's interesting. It's free. It's apparently completely free to play. I'm not sure how they're going to earn their money for it. All the champions that are in it are free from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm actually watching the video right now.
Yeah, it's got some crazy ideas. I told you about it, and you were like, "Well, I don't know if it's going to be a good idea because the thing
about MOBAs is skill.
Yeah.
I mean, you take that away, and it's like...
So I'm not sure where it's going to be going.
I play MOBAs. Do you play MOBAs?
No. You play with...
I play Strife.
You play Teletubbies.
Yeah. See,
but
I think
it's
a great
some,
idea, though.
It's... I don't know. It,
I
yeah,
play
it's
with
a good
Legos,
idea if you don't
you
know.
You play with Mega Bloks.
That's a big difference. But it's got some interesting features. I don't say good or bad features. It's got some interesting features, some different ones. Like when you're laning, if you last hit, it shares it with your partner. And if you're laning alone, when you last hit, it shares the gold with everybody.
And you get cute pets like dragon, a triceratops.
Let me ask
you
this.
You can unlock pets that give you I think the pets are almost like your summoner spells in League of Legends because you get like an ability with them. But they've if you're not very good at last hitting, you can get your help from teammates because all the gold is shared. There's fewer champions in the game. I counted 14 in the video I was watching. It sounded there might be more. But what they were saying is there are fewer champions. So you can get used to, who you're fighting faster. Because in League of Legends, you have over, 140 champions. So,
there's
it's hard
a lot.
To... And every one of them kills you in a different way. So there's fewer champions to get used to who you're fighting. Something really interesting about it that I personally think is really stupid.
What?
Is how MMOs, once you're out of combat, you start regenerating your health and mana faster?
Right.
Well, that's basically how it is in this. If you just kind of back off towards your tower, you start regenerating your health a lot faster.
Basically, everybody's Garen.
Yeah, everybody's Garen. So... it's going to be a lot harder to poke down your teammates, they can just, so basically you either go for the kill or you don't do anything.
Well, like I said, this is for basically new people who are new to the genre.
And it's great. A lot of people maybe like me have a wife that they want to play League of Legends with, but she sucks at it. So it's a good game to kind of get her used to the MOBA and then introduce her.
Somebody's sleeping on the couch.
I know. Probably it's more okay. I'm drunk. House. It doesn't matter. I'm sleeping anywhere tonight.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
I'm sleeping everywhere tonight, bro.
Oh, that's great.
But something they took from Dota is they have carriers, but this time you have your own personal carrier, so you don't have to worry about it you're getting it, you get it killed and your entire team rages at you. So you can pretty much stay in lane all game. If you're good and just keep having your carrier, your personal carrier send, bring you stuff and crap like that.
That's really cool.
They talked about the average game. It's obviously because it's more for the casual gamer, for those that aren't good about MOBAs, that aren't, you know, that are trying to learn MOBAs and crap like that. The average time was like 30 minutes or so per match. So that cuts down, you know, 15 to 30 minutes from League of Legends time, which could, you know, the average game lasts 45 to an hour. Another interesting slash weird thing they're doing is for supports who in League of Legends always have to buy wards and spend all their money on wards and crap. There's like these four stations or sentries or whatever that you can the two teams can fight over, and whoever captures it has sight on the area for so long.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And yeah. The last thing that I there's two more things. The Baron Nashor buff, mm-hmm. and the dragon in League of Legends, and then the I don't remember what the guy's name is in Dota, but the big boss fight. They have two of those. And I know they talked about one of them was once you defeated it, it like the monster helped you push a lane of your choosing. Which was actually pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
So like as soon as you defeat it, you like help push the game, and that helps on the time of the games.
So why can't they put something like that in League? That'd be really, really cool.
That was pretty cool. And then the base defenses, you know how the inhibitors keep minions from spawning and stuff? In this one, they're called generators, and the base defenses, I guess once you get so close or something, they'll start shooting at you, like from the spawn pool or whatever. And once you kill a generator, they'll stop shooting in that lane. So it encourages all the lanes to be important instead of just taking down one lane, because the base defenses will attack you from the other. You know, all the lanes that have their generators or their inhibitors still
See,
up.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, there's really a lot like of great ideas.
Yeah, I really like that. That might be something really cool.
It sounds like a really cool game for all those people that are on your team that are feeding to learn how to play League of Legends, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it sounds like a good game. It's going to be free to play. The release date is there's no release date. It's in closed beta right now.
It's not coming out.
So yeah, it's in closed beta. The video I saw on it looked really good. It looked, you know, like everything had been taken care of all over. So I imagine it'll probably come into open beta pretty soon.
Cool.
And then
cool,
maybe release. And I think it'll be out in 2014. So
awesome. It'll be a pretty cool game for the noobs of the MOBA genre. But we got about 5 minutes left, and there's a segment that I would like to start doing probably every week. There we go. That's the proper grammar. But it'll just be a quick roundup of just news going on in gaming, and actually I kind of think we should start doing it towards the beginning of the show instead of the very end.
I call it quickie news.
Quickie
right?
news.
Quickie
oh,
news.
Dear.
That's not
quickie.
Don't take that any other way. Yeah. Quickie news. Guys, but, come get your quickie at ragequitradio.com.
Real quick, let's just go through some of them real quick. The first one is that SimCity offline mode is going to be released in update 10. And I'm not sure if that's going to be in the next update or not, but that's obviously an update that's something that everybody who plays the game really would like.
Yeah, SimCity was originally online only. It had a huge big deal when it was released. Everybody was pissed because you couldn't get on the servers and it was online only and blah, blah, blah. So they're finally releasing with update 10 that'll be offline mode. You'll be able to mod it a lot more as well. So I think it's going to be a huge boon to the game. Even though EA is a Nazi bastard. But...
wow. The PS4 has won the console race against the Xbox One, particularly in the UK. Now, this actually doesn't really surprise me. I'm not surprised if it'd be worldwide, to be perfectly honest, because I think the PlayStation is more available to people. particularly in Japan.
It had a lower price point and stuff like that. There's a couple of releases coming out too, guys. If you if you're waiting for some good games to come out in February, there's Fable Anniversary, which will release on the Xbox 360 February 4th, 2014. Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy 13 will hit Xbox 360.
Yeah, but you're excited for that.
PS3. Yeah, on February 11th, 2014, and then Thief will be released February 25th, 2014 for the PC, Xbox 360, Xbox One, PS3, and PS4.
Thiefed in general, I'm actually pretty excited for.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game to play. Really cool game.
I mean, I think that kind of inspired Assassin's Creed because that genre, I guess, I've never really seen before until the original.
Yeah, Ooh. Thief was an original game, and now it's being released again. I guess it's Thief 2, but they're just going with Thief. February 25th.
I'm not sure if it's actually a sequel or a remake.
Remake. It's a new game, it's updated graphics, updated gameplay, and all that. Also, Get Even will be they're a little bit of not a lot has been commented on it, but Get Even, it's been talked about. It's a first person shooter. It's going to be released sometime in 2015 is the projected date, and they say that it will blur the lines of single and multiplayer as enemy players can join against you with the AI. So if you're sitting there playing your single player campaign, enemy players will be able to come in and you'll think you're fighting AI, and bam, you're getting shot by an enemy player. So that seems pretty cool. It offers a lot more difficulty.
It's basically Titanfall.
but it does have a single player. It has a story to it.
Gotcha. Actually, speaking of which, that's kind of what Watch Dogs is doing. I know it's a single player game, but apparently other players can join your world without any sort of notification.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I think there's some sort of objective that pops up if you're near each other that you may have to do something to either catching the other player or preventing the other player from doing something. So I thought that was always really cool.
Yeah, so there's nothing like getting playing your single player, your story immersed, and then some guy kills you and teabags you, right?
Well, guys, that's about all the time we have for the show. Thanks for joining me. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Rage Quit Radio, and to follow us on Twitch at Rage Quit Radio, where we'll be streaming throughout the week if you'd like to watch us play video games. And follow us on Twitter at MLR Rage Quit. Well, thanks again for joining us, and I hope you guys all have a great night, and stay tuned for Hippo Juice.